What is it about the French? They're often the butt of jokes for comedians on late-night American TV, and they're even the target in perennial political diatribes. But these interpretations of the French seem to miss the point entirely. I've found just about anyone who's been to France can tell you it's one of the friendliest, most charming countries anywhere. But when people try to judge French culture on American terms, well, that's when we get a few cultural misunderstandings. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, we're learning about the je ne sais quoi that makes France such a pleasure to anyone who's willing to surrender to its charms. We're speaking with Patrick Vidal about the French culture. As a French tour guide, Patrick's an old pro at educating Americans about his native country.
Bonjour, Rick.
Patrick, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
When you think about Americans, and you're a tour guide, so you deal with Americans all the time, what are the big challenges for Americans in France to enjoy your culture?
I think the most obvious one might be the restaurant and the meal culture. It's part of the tour or part of the visit to stop in a restaurant
the
to
meal
spend some
culture.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah, the meal culture. Yeah. The meal. Yeah. And the idea is in France, going fast on the meal or serving you fast quickly is rude.
Because here, fast service is good service.
Exactly.
And many Americans are upset because they're not getting fast service over
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And that's the main point. When I start introducing friends to my tour members on my first meeting, one of the first things I say, remember that when you sit down at the table, they think you're on holidays. They think you want to enjoy your meal, take your time. When you finish your dish, they won't bring the next one straight away. They'll take their time.
It's so ironically, slow service is good service. Absolutely. They're respecting you. They want you
that's
to stay
what it is.
All
yes.
day.
Yes.
Now, if you're just blitzing through and you want a quick meal, if you speak French, you can say, hey, I'm blitzing through. Serve me quickly. No problem.
Yes, you can easily be served very quickly. And people get to understand that. You say, I'm going to the movie. I'm going back to work. I'm going to do something else. You're served quickly. That's not a problem. But you're a foreigner. You come to the restaurant. You're obviously on holidays. You obviously have no rush.
No rush. That's
Sit
the epitome
down,
of a holiday. But Americans often have a big list and they're on a hurry on their holiday, so we have to explain to our French friends. Now, the United States is a big country, and when you're a big country, you think you do it the, quote, normal way. France is also a big country.
France, for the European standards, is a big country. It's still nowadays, apart from Ukraine and a touch of Russia, the largest country in Europe.
And culturally, bigger yet.
Culturally, very strong and very proud of its own culture and very, very strong on keeping the identity. But, you know, what's interesting in that as well is that we always say, oh, it's France. But there's no such thing as French culture. It's different in every little region of France. It's going to be different in Brittany than in the eastern part of France, than in south of France, than in north of France. It's going to be a different thing. You can get global ideas out of it there and global lines, but as soon as you start traveling in different regions, you'll find also regional differences.
I think you could make the case France is the most diverse country in Europe.
I hate to say that because I don't know if my colleague
yeah,
European guides
it, yeah.
will think the same thing, but I think so.
You got Spain.
We got Spain.
You got Italy.
You got Italy.
You got Germany.
Yes. Belgium.
Belgium. Mm? I mean, spilling into your country.
Belgium as well. Flemish as well, north of France.
That's right.
And the Lille and Roubaix, north of France, have got the very Flemish way of life.
Now, you've traveled with Americans in France, and you see the frustrations we have because we think these French people are so proud of their ways. But you've traveled a lot in the United States.
I remember 20 years ago, I drove from San Francisco to Philadelphia. It was in January. I was on my own, and my English was pretty poor. And I bumped into exactly the same problems in Wyoming, in Iowa, in the very profound, as we say, profound United States.
Profound America.
Yes.
So when you say you bumped into the same problems, what do you mean?
People who were not ready to explain to me the menu. One good example of that, I go out for breakfast, and the big thing about America is choice. You know,
choice,
when you
yeah.
go for your breakfast, you've got the choice of 10 different ways of making the eggs and 10 different breads and things like that. And you get the thing and you'd say to the lady, oh, I'm going to have a breakfast that type. And she says, oh, and with eggs? Yes, I want eggs. What kind of eggs? How do you want your eggs?
Chicken
don't know.
Eggs.
And she gives you 10 different things very quickly. My English was a bit poor, so well, I'll take the first one. And then bread with that, toast with that. Oh, yes, I'll take the toast as well. And what kind of toast? Blah, 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 rye, I'll take the first one then. So I spent my tour thinking when I was at breakfast to take only the first one because my English was not good enough to make me choose this sunny side over. I don't even know now.
So you dealt with this complex and proud and this is the way culture in America.
That's it.
And it's the same thing Americans are dealing with in France.
I think this is what it is about traveling in some way, you know. You get to some places where people haven't traveled much or are living where they are, and they live the way they live. And
that's the only way.
Your job to adapt to that. That's not their job.
So when an American goes to France, you can experience this attitude that, well, it's just the way it's done. It's not right or wrong. It's just the way it's done.
No, it is no notion of right or wrong in that. It's just, we do it that way.
This is how we have our coffee.
Maybe.
You don't have your coffee with the dinner. You have the coffee after the dinner. Americans want their coffee with their dinner.
That's another one of the things I'm saying to my
So the waitress comes there and she wants to pour your coffee. No, you don't have coffee with your meal.
Nope. When I do tours with American people in France, I organize a contest during the tour. I said that every time you get the coffee with your dessert, I give you 5 points.
And so just be patient.
Very few people get the coffee with the dessert. Even if you've asked it all the way for the meal, the cafe will still come after the dessert. Not because they want to bother you, not because they don't want to do it for you, just because it doesn't come to them. I mean, the coffee...
The waiter will bring it only after. You can ask for it with, but it's just the way it's done.
It's just the way it's done.
So you say, can I have my coffee with the dessert? They say yes, and they'll bring it after the dessert.
After the dessert.
But that's not rudeness. It's just the way
it's done. It's just the way it's done here. That's...
Patrick, the French culture was huge in Europe 100 years ago, and your country has basically lost 2 world wars. It's been a huge hit on French culture. How have the wars affected French culture?
Well, I think we've lost even more than 2 world wars. We even lost the one before, 1870, against the Prussian and the Russian. So we've got a long habit of losing wars, and we're pretty good at that. How did it affect us? I don't know. It's a bit difficult to say. I mean, that's not what changed our country the most. I think what changed our country the most is the loss of the colonies. That's how we get out of a superpower to a local regional power, because we used to have land all over the world. We've got North Africa, Algeria, Tunisia, and Morocco. Most of Western Africa, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, a few of those countries along the line, Senegal, where French was spoken. Islands all around the place, like Madagascar, on the eastern part of Africa. Around there, Madagascar, the Reunion, Comores, Comoran Islands, and places like that. Then Vietnam. The French did the same thing, and they wanted to stay in.
They wanted to stay in Vietnam.
They get themselves in trouble in Vietnam, and they run away. We still have land north of New Zealand.
We still have
New Caledonia.
That's a French colony.
Yes, French colony.
I didn't know that.
Not called colony, of course, nowadays. It's called a French outside department or abroad département, territory abroad or something.
A territory abroad.
Yeah.
So you've lost wars, you've lost your colonies, and you've also been slammed by globalization and the fast American pace of life. How is France and French culture threatened by the fast-paced globalized economy?
Yeah, after all those things, you're surprised, we're upset. I mean, that's a lot of things to take in our pride.
It is, isn't it? That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Way of life is changing in France big time. You can think of the lunch break, which was almost a religion in France.
It's
you
a
would
sacred
stop the,
thing.
The shops will close between lunch and all that kind of things. People will take their time to have the lunch. It's fading away.
Is there pressure to compete with the faster-paced, harder-working societies?
Obviously, yes, of course, yeah. It's a kind of a very paradoxal in France about that. It's this very traditional way of sitting down and watching the world go by and having the holidays and having a lot of time off, leisure time and things like that, and also to make it efficient, to make it worthwhile,
to make the
money you spend to compete. Sometimes we don't get the right figures either. I mean, it's said that in Europe, I've read the thing just before I came in a newspaper, apparently France is one of the most cost-efficient country in Europe.
What do you mean by that?
Like you've got workers, you pay your money for your workers. They're more expensive in France, but they produce more.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Because the way of life is better. Happy workers with good social security system, with a lot of holidays, with a lot of time off, and they produce more.
So your heritage from the revolution is favoring the workers. There's more powerful organizations with workers. Is that correct?
Yeah, in some ways. You know, the history of all those strikes in France, we always think that there are a lot of strikes because those unions are so strong. But I don't think so. I think we got a lot of strikes in France because the unions are not strong enough. A country like Germany, I've got very strong unions.
Oh, so
where
they don't even have
before
to
a decision is taken, you sit down with the union and you look at what you can do. That's what's going on in Germany. In France, the governments and the companies are looking down at the unions. Well, they're not strong anyway. We don't care. So let's do whatever we want to do. And then you've got 3% of the workers who stop working, the ones which are part of the union, but they block the system. So suddenly, we've got to sit down at the table and start talking. And then they negotiate, and then it moves. But you still have to go through this striking process before
negotiation. This adjustment with the modern economies and new austerities, Sarkozy making people work longer before they retire and so on, there's going to be some stress in the system.
For sure, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that's very interesting that because 1 year and a half ago when the crisis started, from all over the world, from all over Europe, at least I should say, everybody was starting to say, finally, maybe the French system is not as stupid as it looks from outside because there's more social cover, there's less stress on working long hours, and there's less stress on having things and having loans and borrowing money, and we are hit by the crisis a bit less than the rest of the world.
So you were living within your means
a bit more
honestly.
At least for the private people, more for the government is another story. But at least for the private people, and a lot of people have been much less hit by the crisis than it's been, for instance, in England, which was everybody is on a loan, everybody buys the house, everybody on big, big credits. And France has been much less strong on that and less hit by the crisis.
Less of a bubble to collapse.
Absolutely.
Jeff in Seattle emails us, and Jeff writes, the best book on the French is Polly Platt's French or Faux. Polly was married to a Frenchman and had a company that helped transplants with cultural transitions when they moved to Paris. She made the point that no company would send an employee to Japan without some cultural training, but they send them to France with no help at all. I love France. I've spent many weeks in the country in all regions. We exchanged houses with two of our French friends from Provence and have stayed with our friends near Orleans. That's interesting. People send their employees to France with no preparation to understand the culture. And in a business environment, it might be complicated for some American doing business in France.
I think the best example of that is the Euro Disney.
Euro Disney. Tell me how.
That's a big example of that. I mean, I don't remember the dates exactly, but when they settled in France, they came with their big American company thinking we're going to build it and run it the way we would run back home. And there was, for the customers, there was no alcohol with the meals anywhere.
So this was a big mistake by Disney.
Of course, because any Europe, it's not only the French, but any Europe, they relax of having a little beer when they are enjoying a day out with the kids.
So Disney, they figure, we'll make a Disneyland outside of Paris, and they just say, and it is our standard not to have alcohol. They didn't really pay attention to the European market.
And that's one example amongst other ones.
Did they change it then?
Yeah. They did a few rules like that. It was more expensive than the European could really afford. But then on the employer aspect as well, they made plenty of things. They wanted to run it as an American company. I mean, as Disney in the States. One of the rules was, we don't want to see any bad-looking cars on the parking.
Really?
Yeah. I've got a friend who worked for them, and they were very strong on saying, if you've got a bad-looking kind of car looking like a wreck there, you can't come with it on the thing. If you're an employee. And French people don't care about that kind of things. I mean, it's a car. I don't earn much money. I mean, we come to my work like that.
Disney learned you cannot go to France and treat your employees like
Americans. They learned it the bad way. They went bankruptcy.
Yeah.
The company was supposed to be scrapped off, I mean, taken off. And funnily enough, because it's a big company, banks said, okay, we'll get out of your debt, start again.
Disney planned to have it a destination resort with a lot of hotels out at Euro Disney outside of Paris. I understand because Disney was saved, really because there's such good transportation connection from Paris out to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's one big part of the thing. Absolutely. It's easy to reach. It's easy to go there.
Because people would rather stay downtown in Paris, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rather than the Daniel Boone Hotel at Disneyland.
Yes, yeah. Works well.
We've got Mary on the line in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Mary, thanks for your call.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. I have a question for your guest. I spent 3 years in Europe with my family living there, and we traveled all over Europe. We in Germany and Belgium and the Netherlands and France, and we would go to France quite a bit. And we would, on occasion, we would run into French people that were also traveling and doing touristy things in other countries. And whenever we ran into the French outside of France, their demeanor was very different than if we interacted with them in France. And, I mean, it was like night and day. When we went to Paris, the French people were so nice and friendly. But if we ran into them, like, say, in Germany, they were grouchy and rude. And I was wondering, what's up with that?
You know, I'm a tour guide, and I've learned a long time ago, don't take French people on tours. French people are big at complaining. They like to complain. I used to be a bus driver, and I remember tours where I would take people for a week. It's not even outside of France. I was living in Brittany, and I was taking people around, just not very far. And I remember vividly that during all the tour, people would complain about, oh, last year or the tour before, there was less steps there, and it was complaining all the time. But after that, coming back home and saying we had the time of our life, and it was the best tour ever. And I don't know exactly where it comes from, but that's one
but
of the
But you both found that while French are on the road, part of their vacation activity is
complaining.
Being high maintenance.
Yes.
Well, we almost didn't go to France because we thought all the people were rude.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah, I can imagine that. As you were telling us about that, I was laughing, just like thinking, oh, yeah, well,
so true.
I'm not that surprised.
Well, you read it right, Mary.
Okay.
I'm glad you finally got to France and realized that the people
are
okay.
I did. We did go to France, and we enjoyed ourselves quite a bit, and I love Paris, and I could spend years just in that city.
Very nice. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
And Lisa's calling in from Columbia, South Carolina. Lisa, thanks for your call.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I studied French when I was in high school and college, and I would have loved to have gone and lived in France. That would have been my dream come true, and my brother would laugh at me and tell me that I was wasting my time, that everybody spoke English and didn't need to study French, and he ended up falling in love with a French girl who lives in Paris, and now he's lived in Paris for almost 10 years, and I laugh at him now, and he's done very well with his French, but my experience with the French, and maybe it's because I had an in with my sister-in-law, but I have always found them very warm and inviting and extremely hospitable. When we went over there for his wedding, everyone was so kind to us. So when I come back and Americans say how rude the French are, I don't know what to say. I'm sure every now and then you run into a rude French person, but I run into rude Americans every day, so I don't understand why people see them so rude. I have read a book on the differences, the cultures, and one thing I learned was that French people, if you smile a lot, it kind of makes them think you're not very smart. Is that true?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
For European culture, I mean, if you're in a metro in Paris, people don't smile.
Right.
No.
If you're in front of a friend and having a good time, you smile. That's normal. That's part of life. But on an everyday life, on a basic thing, people don't smile much. So when they see American with their grin on and smiling all the time, they think, "Oh, who are those people? What's wrong with them?"
He's a little bit loony.
And so you can imagine, you know, I'm from the South in the United States, so I'm trying to be friendly, and I'm over there smiling, and I didn't ever know until I read that book that they thought I was dumb. But anyway.
Well, I think the French are into sincerity. In the United States, we have sort of more of a smiley face culture, and our informality is comfortable with us. But to the French, I think it comes off as a little bit insincere.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good insight, Lisa. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. France is famously romantic as a culture, and a lot of Americans dream about meeting a French person, a man or a woman. Patrick, if a woman falls in love with a Frenchman, and it happens quite a lot, and a lot of American tourists end up with the ultimate souvenir, what would your warnings be, or what would your advice? How can an American woman meet and enjoy a Frenchman?
That's a good question. I don't know if I'm very good at talking about it. I'm the less romantic person you can think of the world. My experience.
What
of,
impresses
of that,
a
what
Frenchman?
What impresses the French? I think it works like if it worked the other way around. The accent.
Really?
Of course, yeah.
You find our accent interesting?
Absolutely. I mean, you can imagine that in 95% of the cases when people have got a foreign accent, unless it's a fight between the people, people find it interesting.
You anyway, know, that's interesting.
I hate my French accent.
Yeah, but if I was a woman right now, just hearing your voice would turn me on.
Yeah, but I hate it. If I could get rid of it, I would get rid of it straight away.
Don't do that.
There's nothing I can do about it.
And
anyway.
You like my accent?
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that nice?
Absolutely. It's something about it that people like to hear the language spoken a little bit differently.
So French men and women enjoy the American accent.
Absolutely.
We don't need to sound like Inspector Clouseau.
No.
Maurice Chevalier.
No, and it won't do it anyway.
It sounds probably funny to a Frenchman if I want to sound like Peter Sellers. Won't work.
It wouldn't work. Don't even try.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're getting insights into the French culture. Patrick Vidal, thanks so much for sharing your beautiful culture with us
today. You're very welcome. That's my pleasure.
Rick Steves teaches smart travel to France and beyond. At ricksteves.com, you'll find an archive of interviews from his radio show, free audio tours of Paris's top sites, a monthly travel newsletter, and a world of information to help you turn your travel dreams into smooth and affordable reality. To gear up for your next French adventure, begin your trip at ricksteves.com.